I think the league is growing. It's changing, evolving, if you will, as well. And rosters are built in some ways maybe a little bit different than they used to be built. And schematics have changed a little bit as well. So I think with that, you're seeing the game change then as well.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the change in the league. I mean, as a defensive guy, he's probably got to be like, no, I'm all right with it.
I'm the star of the show.
Let's go. You know, I mean, I feel like that's the thing. In the modern era, defensive coordinators, defensive head coaches, they get a bad rap. You know, everybody wants the offensive guy to be their head coach. They don't want to go through offensive coordinators, what have you. I still don't. Don't get me wrong. My opinion has not changed on that. But, you know, McDermott's probably got to be sitting there, maybe in the back corner of his mind going, yeah, baby, I'm the bride now. No longer the bridesmaid. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're talking defensive schemes today, and are we jumping the gun a little bit on freaking out about the passing numbers through 2 weeks? And we're going to get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with David. David, you're on the line. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, guys. Hey, three points I want to make. First one is I enjoy listening to your show when I get the opportunity. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
The first thing is I'm patient. Okay, and I really think wait a little bit. We're going to see a little more of the passing game come out. That Darnold pass to Jefferson was lucky. Probably two stinky safeties back there. So
that's probably helped.
Right. And I wanted to call him last week, but I didn't get the opportunity. You guys were talking about Brady and his planning and stuff like that. And the point when you guys were talking popped into my head. The game last year, where after we learned he had a totally different game plan, but the run game was working, and he goes, I'm sticking with it. And normally you don't see that. We didn't see that with our previous offensive coordinator. He just tried going with the game plan that he had in mind. Brady does have a game plan for each, and some of these games I'm sure are going to be high passing games. We'll see, but I think that's the way he operates. So I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call. And yeah, that was the Dallas game last year.
That was, as soon as he said that, I was like, that's Dallas.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, that's going to kind of a game that for Dallas will live in infamy because it was kind of a sign of things to come. And for Bills fans, it's kind of a weird thing because, yeah, like they won by just basically and Brady was pretty open about it the next day in sort of his post-game presser.
Right.
Where he was just like, yeah, like we were willing to change it up. We were planning on it. It just never came. I would also say, and this is why, and I like that Dave's point too, he's patient. Week one, they went up against one of the worst run defenses in football. And in the first half, the running game really worked. They did go to the passing game much more in the second half, and that also worked. And they were able to not claw out a victory. Again, I look at that game very weird. The scoreline looked closer than it felt like it was, especially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They ultimately did have a chance to win it, don't get me wrong. But by the first drive of the third quarter, Buffalo scores. It's a tie game. That's why I was bringing up for the Miami week. It's not – the comebacks are not the same. You know, Arizona let that game slip very quickly. And Buffalo was able to kind of press on them. It's ultimately a special teams touchdown that even keeps them alive in that game at all. I will say, though, I think passing games will go up, namely because, as I've mentioned, I don't think the Bills have been running the ball particularly well. I think James Cook has been solid, fine. We also haven't seen them being pushed to the brink of like, hey, you need to throw the ball. You're in a shootout here. You know, again, Arizona, one of the worst run defenses in football, and they leaned on that in the first half. It worked. Their biggest problem was they didn't have the ball. The defense was still adjusting to Kyler Murray, I don't know, being able to run. I know, surprise. And then in game two, pick six, a lot of short drives. I mean, again, like offensive snaps.
Three picks?
Yeah, ultimately offensive snaps. I think they had under 50.
Yeah.
So you really didn't even get to see that team either.
Well, I think also, too, something, you know, there that he brought up was just the ability to change on the fly. And I think that's something we're going to really see out of Joe Brady as a coordinator as it goes on here, because that Dallas game was what, like his third game?
Something like that, yeah. It was relatively early.
So I think as he progresses as an offensive coordinator, I think a characteristic we'll use to describe him is adaptable.
Yeah.
You can take his offense and adapt it to any situation that you're in. If you're going to a game and your game plan is not working the way you want it to, okay, it's time to shift. It's time to move. And teams do that all the time. But it just feels like he might have That might be like his bread and butter, is being able to change on the fly.
Because I think it is fair to bring up that not every offensive coordinator can. I would say Ken Dorsey couldn't.
No.
Their plan was, we are going to stretch the field passing the ball, even if we don't have the personnel, even if we're not getting appropriate blocking.
Even if it's not working. Even if
we are going to keep
30 passes and only 10 of them have been caught, we're going to just keep throwing it down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to say you're going to keep throwing the ball. It's another thing to say you're going to keep throwing the ball to Diggs on a streak route, or, you know, Gabe Davis on a deep cross. That's it. No, mix in a slant, mix in just like a little dump off to the side. If you want to throw the ball a lot, you have to mix it up. And I think that's something that Dorsey never understood. Then we're going to see now. It doesn't seem that way. It seems the same thing in Cleveland,
too. Well, that's the thing. He's not even calling plays in Cleveland.
Well, right. But still, he's part of that.
Yeah, yes.
Mind the group that comes up with everything, and it's
the groupthink.
The groupthink. Yeah, sure.
Let's go to Jim here. Jim, you're on the line. How are we doing this morning?
Hi, guys. I do think it's part of it is the two high safeties, but I think mainly it's the lack of starters playing in the preseason. You're seeing it with the penalties. There's 20 penalties in that Eagles-Falcons game.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, I'd say at least half to 60%, are pre-snap. These guys aren't playing at all in the preseason. The penalties are killing drives. You got a ton of new coordinators, and you've got half the league where the quarterbacks have less years experience. That's all contributing to this. I don't think it's completely too high, but I think that is definitely a shift that's gone on. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for the call. That was something I rushed by because I wanted to bring up the offensive line point. But again, I will say this, and it hurts me to my core to bring it up and to agree with it.
Playing players in the preseason?
Playing starters in the preseason.
Zach!
Wait a minute, this
is revolutionary. You're figuring it out.
I think it is warranted. My thing has always been the absolute. I mean, I don't deny it. I'm paralyzed by the fear of my starter getting hurt in a meaningless scrimmage.
Look at what's going on with the Sabres right now with Rasmus Dahlin. He just got hurt 5 minutes into practice.
And that's always the argument that's brought up is guys can get hurt taking a shower. You know,
right.
Kevin Cobb at Bills camp was running out for training camp, slipped and ruined and ended a season.
Yeah,
I get it, but. It's the meaningless game aspect of it to me that I'm just like, what are we doing here? I've never been a proponent of the preseason or anything like that. But I do think there is some credibility to the fact of, you know, would we get a drive with Josh Allen? He was supposed to play game two.
We got in the first game, it was he's going to play the first quarter. And then in the middle of a drive, they took him out. And that's you never see that.
Because he was going to play the first quarter.
Yeah, but you kind of...
I kind of respect that from
still
McDermott.
I still remember. I think... I can't remember who said it. It was one of the commentators. I don't know if it was Chris or if it was whoever was on TV. But they were like, yeah, he just came out mid-drive. I understand he was only going to play a quarter, but this is a little weird. Like,
I respected McDermott so much for that. Like, no, I said you were playing 15 minutes.
I think it's a good point. Because if you're going to have so many changes, especially if this continues to get traction, if there's so many changes in the offseason and things like that, you're going to need your players to start more in these meaningless games because you're going to have to get them up to speed faster for the games that actually matter. And I think that plays into the offensive line play. I think by week five, maybe we'll see some of that disappear with teams that do have the better offensive lines. Because even the teams that have the good offensive lines are having problems right now. The Eagles, even though they lost Jason Kelce, the Eagles still have a good offensive line.
Yes.
But they're having their own issues right now, and I think part of that's on the coaching staff. Nick Sirianni
is a fraud.
Is a major fraud. But, yeah, I mean, it's still – time's going to have to tell on this. But if it's – like you said, if it's week 10 and we're still having this conversation, then it's – there's going to be something else going on here.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I have kind of
– I
have very much – and I don't like it. Believe me, it is going to be something that I'm probably going to seek a therapist about. But I do not like the fact that I am now on board with – okay, maybe the starters need to play like a lot in the preseason. Maybe another example. Bryce Young.
Yeah,
he plays a game in the preseason, he played a few drives in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Game three against the Bills backups to fringe roster players, and what did his first 2 weeks look like? He got benched.
Yeah.
two starts into his second year. He's the former number one overall pick. Whether you agree with that or not, I mean, I wouldn't have taken him number one overall. I understand the first round pick thing, but I would not have taken him number one overall. Already done.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Canales even said it. Like, I looked at the tape and we need to win games.
Right.
And yeah.
And that's a coach making a coaching decision.
And if you look at the tape, Bryce Young would have only stayed in for development reasons. The tape would tell you he should not be their starter.
Yeah. I mean, there's literally a replay where he jumped to throw the ball on a dump off and it hit the back of his center's head.
Oh boy, that's not good.
Like the camera literally like pans with the throw and then like snaps back because it hits the back of the center's head.
Mm-hmm. Pete Prisco of CBS, I'm just seeing this now. He tweeted this a little bit ago saying, offensive line play around the league is awful. They need to hit in camp, period. That's why scoring is down. That's why quarterback numbers are pedestrian. How can you become a good line when you can't hit? I think that's probably also something, too.
That brings up the whole meaningless games.
Yeah.
Playing in meaningless games, you're then playing would not that practice is ever meaningless, but.
But I mean, I've brought up the poor offensive line play, and Prisco's bringing it up there. He probably has a very good point of you need to be able to hit in camp.
Is this where are we headed towards something where they could have a simulated like a simulator for offensive linemen? Like think about it, like you have a golf simulator, right? Mm-hmm. Where you play a round of golf just hitting at a screen. I'm not saying a lineman would just hit the screen, but something like that where you could have a lineman hit something and it would give you feedback rather than just hitting the dummies on the.
No, because you're gonna need live reps. I think that's kind of the key to it.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way where you could eliminate two people coming together at such force, and have that sort of, you know, still give that feedback of like, well, this, you know, you got to hit harder here or do something different here with your weight or whatever. But I don't know. It's tough. But yeah. I don't know. I wonder if that's something that we see down the road, especially to avoid injuries, especially with the Tua concussion conversation.
Daniel Jeremiah tweets this out 2 minutes ago. I heard Jeremy and Joe bringing this up too. Mm-hmm. If we're throwing out rule recommendations, let's go to the college hash marks, more space, more fun.
Yeah.
I think that's probably also something that should be brought up. More space.
What's the difference again?
Like I got to look that up in the break, but that's probably something to bring up as well. Of if you have more space, it's the same in hockey. And it's the same in soccer. When you have more space, scoring goes up.
The European hockey game compared to the American hockey game is so much different. I mean, you hear it all the time. These guys have to come over here and adjust to smaller ice.
Yeah.
It's different.
They don't have as much space to work.
Right. But that's also what makes it the professional level compared to semi-professional or college or
but remember, like I mean, it's going to be one of those things where, but if scoring stays down, I actually really – that's the one – I could really see the NFL pushing if scoring were to stay down and ultimately they're seeing offenses really struggle.
I didn't realize it was this big of a difference.
Aren't the numbers farther too in college compared to the NFL? Like the 50 number, like, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, it's still 10 yards in between each.
Yeah,
I'm saying compared to the field
is wider.
I'm saying from the sidelines to the numbers.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
But the NFL.
I could be wrong, though.
In the NFL, the hash marks are 18 feet 6 inches wide. In college, they are 40 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
That's double of what it is in the NFL. I don't think. Maybe you shouldn't go that far.
But maybe tack
on like 10 extra feet.
Yeah, could be interesting.
Put it at 28, see how that goes.
803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump in on this conversation. Sam, we're going to get to your call after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.